Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray before you are seated. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here to help us understand your word. We give you all the glory. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for putting us in this position to where we can stand before our God in righteousness. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Being that this is a graduation ceremony, I won't be long, but I do want to address the students and let you know that this is just the beginning. You've been put on a pathway, but the journey is far from over. In Isaiah, the chapter, in verse 6, I want to read something to you that we've read over and over during the training center. But I want to read it for a reason. In verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Notice it says a son is given. "And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this." The greatest characteristic in the apostolic is willingness. Yes, sir. Jesus was willing to lay his life down on the line, give it up for us. In this particular passage, it says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders," right? All of us have confessed Christ as our Savior. We receive him as our Lord and Savior. So that means Christ lives on the inside of us, right? So because Christ lives on the inside of us, the government is no longer just on his shoulders. The government is now on our shoulders. So that's why willingness is the greatest characteristic in the apostolic or the agenda of God. If you could just simply be willing. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, what's going to happen? You shall eat the good of the land. So tonight I want to ask you four questions that I want you to continually to ask yourself on this journey that is far from over. Question number one. If you would, if you have your Bibles, those that are following the Bible, turn to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis, the 12th chapter, the second and third verse. The first question I want to ask you, are you willing to be synonymous with God's agenda? A synonymous means you can be interchangeable with God's agenda. Somebody can talk about God's agenda and think about you. Somebody can think about you and think about God's agenda. Are you willing to be synonymous with God's agenda? In Genesis, the 12th chapter, in the second and third verse, I want you to see this. He said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing." It continues verse 3. It says, "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So he made Abraham a blessing so that others can be blessed. Right? Abraham, God made Abraham a blessing not because of his calling, not because of his gifting or his talents. God made him a blessing because he was willing to be synonymous with God's agenda. So you got to realize, Abraham was worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars, and heard God's voice. So God didn't call him based on what he knew and who he was. God called him because he was willing. You see, so here he told Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing so that others can be blessed. The same direction is given to us. That's why we are studying. This is why we are training. This is why we are making connections so that we can not only receive blessings, but so that we could be a blessing. Remember, it's not based on your calling. It's not based on your talent. It's not based on your gifting. It's based on your willingness. When you're willing, God can do whatever he wants. When you tell God you can do whatever you want with me, you're opening the door to an extraordinary, uncapped, it can't be denied life. You will really get a chance to experience the Zoe, the God kind of life. Now, you say, well, I don't know all this about this government being on my shoulders, too. Well, Jesus took care of that in Matthew, the 11th chapter. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, in the 27th verse, if you mind, turn there with me also. Matthew, the 11th chapter. See, I'm giving you these questions, and you'll be able to hear this over and over again. I want you to have these questions so you can continually remind yourself what this is about. So you continually remind yourself that my efforts going through the training center hasn't caused me to arrive. It has just set me on a journey. It set me on a correct path that I have to put one foot in front of the other to continue this journey. So these are questions that you must ask. Are you willing to be synonymous with the agenda of God? Are you willing to have the government on your shoulders? It's a good question, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Jesus made it easy for us because he said the government going to be on my shoulders. That means he took all the hard part away.
Yeah.
He took all the hard part away and gave us the easy part.
Yeah.
All we got to do is be willing. In the 27th verse of the 11th chapter of Matthew, he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now watch this. He said, come unto me. Now when Jesus said, come unto me, he's already given indication that he's going to reveal to you who the Father is.
Yes, sir.
He's going to reveal to you what God's plans for your life.
Yes.
But you have to come unto him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All of us that are trying to figure it out for ourselves, trying to do it ourselves. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is what he said. Take my yoke upon you. Do you see that? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is telling us, don't be afraid to bear the government on your shoulders with me. Because I've made it easy for you. Because all you have to be is willing. The second question that I want to ask you. Are you willing to be a son or a daughter or a child of God? Or are you just fine with claiming to be a son, daughter, or child of God? See, John in John, the first chapter, it gives in Romans 8, it gives us two different sides of being a son or daughter of God. In John, the first chapter, in the 14th verse, in the 12th verse, rather, it says, but as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, in Romans, the 8th chapter. And the 14th verse says something a little bit different. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, or by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. Notice the difference. In John, John said when you accepted Jesus, it gave you the power to become. There are many Christians right now, oh yeah, Jesus is living on the inside of them. They're bona fide Christians and they love God. And they're on their way to heaven. But they won't allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. In order to be led, you must be willing. So here, the Apostle Paul says in Romans, the 8th chapter, 14th verse, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Jesus endorsed this because he said, I got to go. But I'm going to leave you a comforter. And when I leave with this comforter is only going to testify of me. So the Holy Spirit is only talking to us about what Jesus wants. And what Jesus wants is to be is for the government to be carried on his shoulders. And so if he's living on the inside of us, that means we bear the yoke and the burden of allowing the government to be on our shoulders. Are you seeing this? So Jesus is asking, so the question is, are you willing to be a son of God, or are you just fine with claiming to be the son of God? Two more questions, I'm almost done. Third question. Here's a biggie. Are you willing to cooperate with God's agenda with other people? This is where covenant comes into play. This is where the body of Christ gets its strength. From the head, Jesus is the head of the church, but the body gets its strength from Jesus being the head. And we all have in one common denominator, his agenda, God's agenda, the apostolic. And we have to be willing. Can you imagine the hand? Let's be specific. Your right hand and you right-handed. Or your left hand, if you left-handed, telling your body it ain't going to do what it's designed to do. It's not willing to cooperate. I, based on what Apostle has been teaching us lately on health, sometimes in our bodies, we eat things and our bodies stop cooperating with what we want to do. So therefore, we got to change how we eat to put the right things in our bodies so that our bodies will cooperate with what it was designed to do. Because it only has one agenda. Your body has one agenda. Your flesh has one agenda. And that's to give you the opportunity to fulfill God's will for your life here on earth. So just like that, we have to be willing to cooperate with each other in the body of Christ. So if you find somebody that's not willing to cooperate, thank you, Holy Spirit. When you find somebody that's not willing to cooperate with the agenda of God, they taking in something wrong. So what you got to do? You have to distance yourself from somebody who's not having the right diet according to the word of God, based on the agenda that God has attached you to. The Apostle Paul said something in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. He said, I might not be an apostle to anybody else, but to you, but you can look at the works of your life and realize that I'm an apostle to you. Do you know those people had to be willing to recognize the Apostle Paul's calling? See, if it wasn't for them being willing, the Apostle Paul would have to keep finding somebody else until he found people that are willing. See, so you have to be willing to cooperate. Turn me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. First Samuel 22. I'm going to start at verse 1 because the question is, are you willing to cooperate with God's agenda with other people? Verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house had heard it, they went down thither to him. And watch this, verse 2, and everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented, they gathered themselves unto David, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Now, here's the thing you need to understand about this. We see that they start off in debt, distress, and discontentment, right? So what if they would have kept their discontentment? If they'd have kept their discontentment, watch this, not willing to make adjustments. They'd have kept their discontentment, debt and distress would have stayed. Do you want to get debt out of your life? Do you want to get the stress out of your life? You must be willing to God's, be willing to participate in God's agenda. You must become synonymous with God's agenda. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these what?
Things.
Now, I love the Bible and I love the way the Bible is written because things is qualified by verse 32. He said the Gentiles do seek after all these things. So what are the Gentiles seeking? They ain't seeking Jesus. They ain't seeking the Holy Spirit. They seeking everything in this world system to give them a better life. Yeah. The Bible says we have to seek him first and all these things will be added to. You can see these same people that gathered themselves around David in 1 Chronicles. I think it's the 28th chapter. And you can see once again, David made a statement in 1 Chronicles 28. He made a statement. They went to build a house of God. And David said, who are we to offer, to be so willing to offer these things to build a house of God? Not only did David say it, but these same 400 people that had surrounded David, they were there able to do the same thing. But their situation had changed. They were no longer in debt, distress, and discontentment. They were at ease. They were in peace. They had no debt, and they were willing. And you can see the results. So the question is, are you willing to cooperate in God's agenda with other people? See, if you can't cooperate with other people, you're going to have a hard time being a Christian. If you don't play well with others, you're going to have a hard time being Christians. Because very seldom does God give instructions for one person to carry out by themselves. It's all, God always uses a group of people. Gideon needed 300. God had to get rid of some people, but he still used 300. It wasn't Gideon by himself. Those 300 had to be willing. Of course, Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves. What forsake not the assembling of ourselves bring about? It brings about accountability. It brings about being able to be accountable. You got some super Christians who just out there. And one thing you can find out about super Christians, the ones that are just out there on their own, is that they eventually get shipwrecked. Because accountability is not just to, accountability is not just for to make sure you're living right. Accountability is to be able to look over your shoulder to see things that you can't see. When you're able to cooperate with other people in God's agenda, there are brothers and sisters that are around you, got the same agenda as you have, that sometimes God will use them to see things over your shoulder. Sometimes God will use them to say things to you. Watch this. They don't know what they're saying to you. They're not even trying to prophesy to you. They're not even trying to be holy with you. They're just in general conversation talking, and God illuminates your ears to what they're saying. Because of accountability. Yes, sir. Good, sir. And finally, the final question Y'all gonna like this one. Are you willing to let God love you? See, once you are willing to be synonymous with God's agenda, then you are willing to be a son of God, not just claim. Because see, let me go back to that with claiming. You got people walking around claiming to be Christians.
Come on.
But you look at their lifestyle and you look at how they treat other people and you have to question it whether they're going to make it to heaven or not.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Even though they all corner Christians, but just the way some of them act, you got to wonder.
Yeah.
So you have to, are you willing to be a son of God? Then are you willing to cooperate with God's agenda with other people?
Amen.
When you get those first, when you keep asking yourself those first three questions, then this fourth question, are you willing to let God love you? Romans, the 8th chapter, the 32nd verse, he said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Psalms 35, 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified with has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Let's talk about this. His sons, those that are willing. Those that say, let the Lord be magnified. When you say, let the Lord be magnified, what you're saying is, God, I'm willing to lay down. You know, Jesus said a number of times in the New Testament, and he said in all four Gospels, he said, he that loses his life for my sake shall gain it. When you look up the word life in those particular passages, when you're on your own time, when you do it, you look up those passages, there's a word that's called psyche. So it's not talking about when you lose your breath.
Come on.
When you lose your consciousness on this side. It's not talking about that. It says when you lose your will.
Come on.
And you pick up his will. It said those that pick up his will will find eternal life. Those that pick up his life, pick up his will, his psyche, his way of thinking, his agenda.
Yeah.
Those will experience the Zoe, the God kind of life. It says those that try to keep their life, keep their psyche, keep their way of thinking, keep their will, will lose it. Hebrews 10:36. This is a strange one. Hebrews 10:36 says, for ye have need of patience, that after, not before, but after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, in that it says you might receive. You might receive the promise. Now, I thought if I did what God asked me to do, I'm automatically conditioned to receive the promise. Well, yes, you are. If you do what God asks you to do, you're automatically designed to receive his promise. But the promise is based on what you want. If you don't want nothing,
come on,
God will give you the promise. Nothing. Didn't he say in Psalms 37 and 4, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. So if you ain't wanting nothing,
come on.
Then you could do the will of God and receive nothing. And it's not God's fault. So don't let nobody tell you and talk you out of living the good life. When you decide to become synonymous with the agenda of God, everything God has designed for you to have, you will receive it. Everything that God has set aside for you. Do you know there's some things that God has set aside specifically for you? There are going to be some people that get to heaven and look at a shelf with stuff with their name on it and going to look back at God and say, I could have had all this. And God is going to reply to them, yes, you could have. The question that they're going to say is, why I didn't have it? Because you didn't want nothing. You let other people talk you out of this. You let Matthew 6:33 not be connected to 32. Are you willing to let God love you? Last one. In Psalms 91 and 16, 91st Psalm is a very powerful psalm, but the 16th verse sums it up. He said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Are you willing to let God love you? Now, most of you if not all of you, those that are watching me online, those graduates that couldn't be here, you've been put on a path that will allow you to be synonymous with the agenda of God. I highly encourage you, don't just walk away from this training center with just a diploma. Don't walk away with the diploma never to look back again. Because one thing about the apostolic or the agenda of God, it is ever unfolding. So I want to challenge you that next year, when the school opened up, become an alumni. Because one thing about an apostle structures. How many times you heard this definition? Structures heaven to earth government. So that the portals of the supernatural can be opened, so that all that are connected can go in and benefit. Well, the portals are going to keep being open, but you have to be willing to walk in. So again, I congratulate you. I bless you. The Bible also talks about, Jesus said, those that put their hands on the plow and then turn away is no longer fit to be. Don't let that plow go. God has spoken some things to you all. God have touched your heart. God have caused your eyes to be open. One of the prayers I pray is, God, I ask you to open my eyes so that I can see things others can't see. God, I ask you to touch my ears so that I can hear things that others can't hear. And God, I want you to touch my mind so I can understand what others can't understand.
Yes, God.
Don't allow anyone to walk into your life and stop you from being able to see what others can't see. Stop you from hearing what others can't hear, and stop you from understanding what others can't understand. When you do that, you will be able to walk in this God kind of life, and you'll look back on your life a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, and be amazed at all what God does with you. So again, I bless you, congratulations to you, and I wish you well in the future. No, sir.
I interrupt the program. I just shut Montreal down because I have to say something to you. I was sitting there. I said, I wasn't going to say anything. This class, sit down. Keep your eyes on me. Specifically, while you were in the school, Junior taught you well, the anointing. How many of y'all have worn a real anointing? Now, you can get in emotion, you can get in a lot of scriptures, but the anointing is a rare thing. The real anointing is a rare thing. You have to be hungry. You have to be hungry for a long time. You have to be submitted. You have to be willing to be sanctified and be holy to wear a real anointing. Our spiritual father, going home to be with the Lord, was one of the most anointed men I ever met. I had been studying for 20-something years, and I saw him in motion in the spirit. I saw his insufficiencies, his infirmities and his inadequacies. But I saw somebody else put their hand on him. And the presence of God came upon him. And he'd fumble around with words. Seemed like he don't have a subject. But all of a sudden, the presence of God showed up. Now, I'm going to talk a few minutes there. Sam, I know you're going to fall on me. We'll talk a minute for it to fall on me. Everybody told me to get up here and talk until it's fall on me. It's designed to put you in a position that you can't explain. I don't know where God's going to take you to. I've preached 1,000 at one time. I never thought I would, but I've preached 1,000 to people one time. I preached in Madison Square Garden. I know what I get from Geismar, the little country I'm from, to Madison Square Garden. It's the anointing. No matter how much study you do, make sure you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. All of y'all need to be filled with the Spirit. You've been through this school. That anointing is just so gracious in any situation. Your own personal life, your family, your children. That anointing is a powerful thing. And you can't take it. You have to yield to it. And now I feel some of it coming on me now. So you can feel the presence of God as he began to rest upon you. I don't know if you've ever been through this before, but tonight I just want to bring you through this. I think the Holy Spirit auctioned me to stand up until a greater measure of his presence come. You will sense it in your seat. It will come upon you. It will, for lack of a better word, loosen you up. Cause you to be not concerned of what nobody else think about you. It will bring you into an arena of God's presence. And that's what I want you to have a taste of before you leave out of here. For lack of a better word, that anointing can rest on you in a special way. He told me to open the school. He said, open the school, get up and start ministering. When they see the anointing fall on you, they'll catch it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Now, don't kaputistato. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Everybody here in that field, the Holy Ghost. There will be people going to try to stop you. They can't. Not as long as you stay in the presence of God. And that anointing, see, Jesus was anointed. I was talking about Kenneth Hagin. He was a real anointed man. Now, I've seen, and I don't want this to happen here, I've seen thousands of students follow him but didn't get the anointing. Wow. They got all the paperwork. But when I hear them preach, I don't hear nothing. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. Don't you come to this school and leave just with a piece of paper. Learn, take time sometime by yourself and yield. You know, Romans 8:26-28 is a major scripture. If you want all things to work together, you got his calling, got the mind of the Spirit, got the will of God, all his purpose. Then he said all things work together for good. Got your infirmity. See, you mix Paul, the Apostle Paul said, mix your infirmities with God's goodness. See, if you don't have no infirmity, you're not gonna wait on anointing. If you're all smart. Your academic gonna cripple you in the anointing. If you're real sharp, I know some of y'all are probably sharp in school, and you can figure out everything. That ain't gonna work in the anointing. The anointing deal with one word: yield. Yield. So God can take you. Oh, hallelujah! Multitude of places you can't get to, unless you know how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
sir. The key, I'm almost through. The key thought is we give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's a combination that will kick the anointing off. Prayer and ministry of the word. The two go together. And the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied, great company became obedient to the priest. When you're ministering to people, they have to know you're hearing from God.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't forget in your ministry time, don't pause and praise God. Yeah, pause and praise God. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Now what you're doing, you're inviting the anointing in. I'm trying to show you something before I sit down. See, yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. See, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to manifest himself as you praise God.
Yep.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You don't want to just be a talker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't want to just be a walker. You want to be, listen to me very carefully, a divine influence for God.
Yes.
As he anoints you with his Spirit, Jesus' ministry was so powerful because Jesus knew how to yield to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I want the same thing for you. Things do not have to look like they're going right. See, you got to know this in ministry. Everybody not going to walk with you. But make sure you're walking with God. If you got that prayer time, that praise time in, you can come on out. Are you following me? Now, don't be an old dry preacher. Just talking, just got 95 points. No. Somebody you ought to jump off the point and jump in the prison, jump in the water. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We got to start somewhere, but good God Almighty, something should happen. I believe in something happening to me. Anybody here can talk to me? I believe in the presence of God to overwhelm us, take us over. We don't know what to do, but we're just yielding to Him. Why, my God, oh my God, hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Most people have never seen a real anointing. They saw emotion. And they thought that was the anointing. The anointing carries another word with it, if it's going to come out fully, called holiness. Sanctification. I'm set apart. Everybody can't use me. I'm going to let God use me. So I congratulate you along with my son. If you stay in ministry properly, as an example, that's my oldest son, my other son singing. I got another son. My daughter, she's working in ministry. And my daughter-in-law's there here. They're working in ministry. My son-in-law working in ministry. I mean, just total, watch what I say, you're not going to be able to handle it, total success. But it's the word did it. The word did it. I want the same thing to happen to you. Bring your children close to you. Talk to them. You might not agree with everything they're saying, but talk with them and work with them. They really need you now. Your grandchildren, they really need you now. I have, 10? I have 10 grandchildren, and they all stay down the street. You know what that means? I don't mean they're at my house every day, though. And I do no babysitting. I will pay for you a babysitter. But where you going, I'm going, too. Don't ever tell them you're getting old. No, I don't hear anybody getting old. All right, what I do now? What's next? Huh? Water of diplomacy. Y'all got it about the anointing? Yeah, spend time with God privately and pray in the spirit. And you don't want nothing, you don't want to act it out. You won't let it be. But if you've been to this school under these instructors, you should be flowing in the anointing. You can't fake it. You know, screaming and hollering is not the anointing. When the anointing on you, every person in your presence feel the presence of God. And a lot of times they know you don't know what you're doing, but you're yielding to His presence. You listen to me? All right, let's get the diploma and pass out the diplomas.